This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وقائدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah. And I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, we continue with the stories of the prophets and messengers, those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen to be the greatest examples, the greatest role models, the greatest of people for mankind to follow. And in this series, the series of the stories of the prophets and messengers, not only that we want to talk about beautiful stories that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention in the Quran Kareem, and for us to entertain ourselves and to listen to this story and say, Alhamdulillah, wow, that's a beautiful story. And not only that it's a beautiful story, it's a true story. Because, you know, these days we are so used to watching fictional stories on TV. You just watch something that's not even true. Untrue stories. Superstitious things. But subhanAllah, even though we'll talk about things which are beyond the capability and the capacity of human beings, but it's a true story. It's a true story. In our last lesson, when we spoke about the story of Salih alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a miracle emerge and take place according to what they demanded and asked, that camel that came out of that rock and out of a specific rock that they pointed out, that's something that's beyond your imagination. As much as you try and do, you can't produce anything from anything unless you do it yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a huge, gigantic camel to emerge and to come out of a rock. But this is a true story at the end of the day, even though it's impossible for you and I to do unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, because there's nothing impossible in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But these are true stories. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them in the Quran Kareem. And Allah mentioned them in the Quran Kareem, not for the purpose of you just entertaining yourself and saying, MashaAllah, that's a beautiful story, wow! And there's that wow factor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you just to say, oh, you know what, it's a beautiful story, it's wow, this and that, and you just walk out of that story. No, 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 no. The purpose of these stories is for us to understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn about the deen of Allah azza wa jal, and those who carry the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messengers of this deen, the prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, we've already covered a number of prophets and messengers, speaking about the prophet and the first prophet and messenger and the first human being, Adam alayhi salam. Then we spoke about Shaykh, then we spoke about Idris, then we moved to Nuh, and then we spoke about Hud, and the last prophet and messenger that we spoke about was Salih alayhi salam. Tonight, we'll be talking about a very important personality. We'll be talking about a very important prophet and messenger. The greatest prophet and messenger after your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this prophet and messenger is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam is the second greatest prophet and messenger after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibrahim alayhi salam is the father of messengers and prophets that came after him. And that's something inshallah we'll talk about later on. How is he the father of the prophets and messengers? Because the majority of prophets and messengers go back to Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Ibrahim alayhi salam over 73 times in the Quran Kareem, which reflects upon the importance of this character. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions someone repeatedly in the Quran Kareem, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats the mentioning of someone in the Quran Kareem, that's a reflection and that signifies the importance of this person or the importance of this thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran Kareem over 73 times, in over 25 chapters and surah in the Quran Kareem. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks highly of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And he met Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And for your information, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam descends from the progeny and the offsprings of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam is the great grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is from the descent of Ismail, and Ismail is the son of Ibrahim. And that's why when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam encountered and met Ibrahim alayhi salam in the seventh heaven during the journey of the Isra and Mi'raj, the night and the ascension journey, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam encountered and met Ibrahim alayhi salam for the first time, and Ibrahim alayhi salam was leaning his back to the Kaaba. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, when I saw him for the first time, there is no one that resembles him as much as I do. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam speaks about himself and about his resemblance to Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he looks so close and he resembles Ibrahim alayhi salam so much. And the Arab during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that the people of Quraysh, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam also belongs to that tribe, they used to always speak about Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they used to claim to be the followers of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they used to even take pride in being the descendants and being the offsprings of Ibrahim alayhi salam. They used to take pride in that, that we are the descendants and we are the offsprings and we are the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to constantly speak about Ibrahim alayhi salam and mention many different hadith. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran Kareem 73 times, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned Ibrahim in his ahadith in the hundreds of times. And that's why Ibrahim alayhi salam carries huge significance and respect and honor amongst people and amongst all prophets and messengers. And if you look into all the religions, especially those religions that follow prophets and messengers, they all agree on one thing. They agree on Prophet Ibrahim. And that's why you've got this thing, you've got this banner these days in which they call it the Abrahamic faiths or religions. Why? Because Muslims believe in Ibrahim, Christians believe in Ibrahim, and Jews believe in Ibrahim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ibrahim in the Quran Kareem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Ibrahim in the Quran Kareem in many different verses. And one of the most beautiful verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Ibrahim alayhi salam and praises Ibrahim alayhi salam is a verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Wa Ibrahim alladhi waffa." And Ibrahim, the one that fulfilled all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. "Wa Ibrahim alladhi waffa," and Ibrahim, the one that fulfilled Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. I want you to keep that verse in your mind, and I want you to connect the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam to the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about Ibrahim, the one that fulfilled Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ibrahim is the son of Tarih. And Tarih is also known as Azar. And Azar means a supporter because he used to support his people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam in many verses mentioned before. And Ibrahim alayhi salam comes from the offsprings, or from the offspring of Nuh alayhi salam, from Sam. Remember what we mentioned before, that after the flood, Nuh alayhi salam had three sons, Sam, Ham, and Yafeth. Sam, Ham, and Yafeth. And from those three children, from those three sons, the rest of mankind come from. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, his descent comes, and his offspring goes back to Sam alayhi salam, or Sam, the son of Nuh alayhi salam. And again, going back to the name of Sam, that's where they get the Semites or anti-Semitic, especially where you've got the Jews, they say that we are Semitics and you shouldn't be anti-Semitics. You know, if you're anti-Semitic, that means you're also anti-Arab and anti-Muslim, because Arabs are also Semitics. And you've got a law here in Australia that protects the Semitics. But subhanAllah, in their understanding and definition of Semitics, are only Jews. But that's wrong, we are also Semitics. So I really support that law, but include the Muslims in it too. Because right now, if you are anti-Semitic, and we support this law, no one should be anti anyone, okay? So if you are anti-Semitic, you can be someone who's breaching the law. You could be someone who's violating the law. But the definition of Semitics is only limited and confined to the Jewish community. But we as Muslims, and Arabs in particular, we are Semitics. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes from the offspring of Ismail alayhi salam. And Ismail is from Ibrahim, and Ibrahim is from Sam. Ibrahim alayhi salam is from Sam. So from amongst the three children, and the three sons of Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam goes back to Sam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam is one of the most detailed stories in the Quran al-Kareem. And Ibrahim alayhi salam grew up in Iraq, north Iraq, in the northern side of Iraq, in a city that still exists today called Babel, Babylon, still around. And there's amazing history that I haven't been there, but I've read about the city of Babylon, which is in the northern side of Iraq. It's just an amazing history. It's an ancient history with a lot of history. So Ibrahim alayhi salam grew up in that city. So he grew up in the northern side of Iraq. And Ibrahim alayhi salam grew up in a, obviously, pagan, polytheist family. And his father, not only that his father did not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his tribe used to worship idols, which is the common trend, as you've realized, subhanallah, and that's one of the things that you've heard out of the stories of the prophets and the messengers in the past. Every time a prophet and messenger emerges, and he comes out to his people and invites him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to worship Allah azza wa jal, is in which what we know as the tawheed, the monotheism of Islam, worshipping one Lord and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing one Lord and that's Allah azza wa jal, and submitting to one Lord and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But over time and over the course of time, you find that shaitan penetrates the lives and the religion of people and turns them away from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the worship of idols. And shaitan manages to manipulate and persuade people and convinces them that this idol that you make with your own hands is your Lord. You ask it, it'll give you. You need something, you supplicate to it, it'll respond to you. If you need anything, just go back to it. And subhanAllah, when you really think about it rationally, I made this. I made it with my own hands. So I have more superiority on this than this having superiority on me. But subhanAllah, ignorance. Especially when you are disconnected from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Iman, my brothers and sisters in Islam, Iman helps you not only to uplift your Iman and connect yourself to Allah Azza, helps you to think properly. Helps you to think rationally. In the Quran al-Kareem, how many verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats and continues to repeat? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. So you could ponder, so you could think, so you could contemplate. Allah wants you to think. Allah gave you that brain for you to think, not just to put it on standby, not just to park it there. This brain is for you to think. And Islam and Iman help you to activate, enables and activates this brain. It makes this brain function the way it should be functioning. So Ibrahim alayhi salam grew up in a tribe, in a city that people worship in idols. They make it with their own hands and then they start prostrating to it. They put it together and then they start asking it for things. They start supplicating to it. And subhanAllah, the main manufacturer of idols during the time of Ibrahim was his dad, Azar, Tareh. The father of Ibrahim had a big business, had a big factory. That factory unfortunately didn't produce utensils or plates or items that people can use. Ibrahim's father used to manufacture idols that he used to sell to people for people to worship. And who did he use to push to get and market it? So he used to have Ibrahim alayhi salam as his salesperson. Ibrahim alayhi salam used to be the marketing person for his father. But Ibrahim was never convinced because he saw it with his own eyes. And subhanAllah, regardless whether the revelation had come down to Ibrahim alayhi salam or not, at the end of the day, all you have to do is just use your logic. All you have to do is just use your common sense. Use your brains. The brother just embraced Islam right now. I'm sure all he did is just stopped and paused for 1 second and used his brain. In which everyone can do. If not everyone, the vast majority of mankind can do. Use your brains. Think about it. How would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have a son? How would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have 100 idols? It just doesn't make sense. What's really going to make sense that there is one God, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that God is so perfect, That God is so great. That God, no one resembles him. And no one can resemble him. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salam at a young age, he used his mind, he used his intellect. And he's realized, even though he grew up in a family, not only they worship idols, but they are the ones who manufacture idols. He realized that, you know what, this doesn't make sense. So what did he used to do? Each time his father pushes him to go and sell those idols, he used to go and break them. And some narrations even say, he used to go and drown them and say, Yalla, go and help yourself. Yalla, save yourself. He used to take him to the river and cast him in the river and say, Yalla, you are drowning, save yourself. Save yourself, Yalla. Help yourself. You want me to ask you for help and you can't even help yourself? So Ibrahim alayhi salam from the very beginning rebelled against his father and against his tribe. وَقَالَ إِنَّمَا اتَّخَذْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْثَانًا مَوَدَّةً بَيْنَكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. He said, you've only taken idols for you to worship. And you've loved them to the extent that you've taken them as gods. But you've made them with your own hands. Just think about it. And then he became so outspoken against the idols, against their gods. He's not speaking about their leader. He's not speaking about the most respected people amongst them. He's speaking about their gods. He's speaking about their idols. He's speaking about their lords that they believe that these lords are the ones who created them and they're the ones who are sustaining them and providing to them. So it's a big insult to the people of Ibrahim. And Ibrahim alayhi salam did not hold back. He just continued to become more outspoken and more outspoken and more outspoken, more critical of their idols. And he started to even defy them. He started to even say, stand in front of all of them. To the extent that he even stood in front of all of them and said, I'm going to show you. He threatened them. So he was so brave and courageous that he did not even hold back. And he defied, he even stood against the entire tribe. He challenged the entire tribe. He said, I'm against all these idols. I'm against the worship of these idols. And he said, not only that, I'm going to show you, I'm going to do to these idols. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem, وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ أَصْنَامًا فَنَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Shu'ara and mentioned to them the story of Ibrahim when he told his people and his father. So not only that he opposed his people, but he was also opposing his own dad. When he told his father and his people, what are you worshipping? Just explain to me. What are you worshipping? They said, we worship idols. And we will continue to surrender to these idols. We will continue to adhere to these idols. So he said, هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِذْ تَدْعُونَ. If you call upon them, can they hear you? أَوْ يَنْفَعُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَضُرُّونَ. Can they benefit you or harm you with anything? قَالُوا بَلْ وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا. That's how we found our forefathers. That's how we found our fathers and grandfathers doing. So we're just going to continue with what our fathers and grandfathers. Who are you to come and tell us? You know this thing. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Are you better than my father? Are you better than my grandfather? Especially when you talk about stubborn people like this. So they used to look down at Ibrahim. Who are you to come and tell us what our fathers used to do? Are you better than them? Are you smarter than them? Do you understand life better than them? You have better experience than them? Like when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to At-Taif and told him to worship Allah azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him as a prophet and messenger that started to make mockery of him, said, couldn't Allah find anyone beside you? Couldn't Allah azza wa jal find anyone beside you? Out of all people, Allah chose you? Subhanallah, that stupid mentality. Arrogance. Arrogance, wal-iyadu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam from the very beginning. How wise Ibrahim alayhi salam was. How smart Ibrahim alayhi salam was. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. We had granted Ibrahim wisdom. From before. Before the prophecy. Before he was even declared to be a prophet and a messenger. Before he was even informed to be a prophet and a messenger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Ibrahim. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ. Which means Ibrahim was granted wisdom from the very beginning. وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. And we knew his affair. We knew everything about Ibrahim from the very beginning, before the prophecy, during the prophecy, and after he was announced to be a prophet. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صَدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember Ibrahim in the book, he was an honest, trustworthy prophet and messenger. Subhanallah. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salam from the very beginning. And Allah Azza wa says, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا هَذِهِ التَّمَاثِيلُ الَّتِي أَنْتُمْ لَهَا عَاكِفُونَ. We had granted Ibrahim alayhi salam wisdom from the very beginning, and we knew his affair. We knew everything about Ibrahim. When he told his father, when he told his tribe, مَا هَذِهِ التَّمَاثِيلُ. What are these idols that you are worshipping? What are these idols that you are prostrating to and bowing to and kneeling to? قَالُوا وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا لَهَا عَابِدِينَ. We found our forefathers and we found our fathers worshipping these idols. قَالَ لَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ أَنْتُمْ وَآبَاءُكُمْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Subhanallah, one man defying an entire tribe. One man. And subhanallah, I want you also to connect that to your everyday life. I want you to connect this to your everyday life right now. That these days, people know you're a Muslim, people start looking down at you. People start to discriminate against you. You might have a bit of racism here and there. Subhanallah, we're talking about one man here that stood against his entire tribe. And he was young. It's not like, you know, he was 30, 40, 50 years old. Some narrations say he was only 14 years old, 15 years old. So he was mature, had passed the age of puberty, but he was a young man on his own. He defied and he opposed and spoke against his entire tribe, including his father. قَالَ لَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ أَنْتُمْ وَأَبَاكُمْ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. He responded back to them and he said, you and your forefathers were misguided. I'm telling you that from now. I'm not going to be around the bush. Even if all of you turn against me, I'm telling you right now. You and your forefathers were all misguided. قَالُوا أَجِئْتَنَا بِالْحَقِّ أَمْ أَنْتَ مِنَ اللَّاعِبِينَ. Are you trying to play around or do you have something that you want to offer? They have the truth. They want to produce. They have a proposal. They have a proposition. They have something new. Or are you just trying to muck around here? Are you trying just to push us around? قَالَ بَلْ رَبُّكُمْ رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الَّذِي فَطَرَهُنْ. Your Lord, your true Lord that you must be and you should be kneeling to and worshipping and prostrating to is the one that created the heavens and the earth. That's Allah. رب السماوات والأرض الذي فطرهن وأنا على ذلك من الشاهدين. And I am from the first of witnesses to witness that. وَتَاللَّهِ. Now he threatens them. Not only he defied them. Like you're talking about Ibrahim, mashallah, the bravery that he had. The courage that he had. One young man, 14, 15 years old, on his own, defying and challenging and opposing the entire tribe. Not only that he told them what you're worshipping is wrong. Not only that he said, you and your forefathers have been misguided. Not only that he said, you must worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he threatens them, he says to them, وَتَاللَّهِ. تَاللَّهِ means by Allah. لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ. وَاللَّهِ, by Allah, I'm going to destroy your idols. When you're not around, openly. He didn't hide it. He didn't say it to himself, in the open, to his people, when he told them, you are misguided, you and your fathers, you are worshipping the wrong lords, you are worshipping idols, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and He is the one that you must worship, and He is the one that you must submit to and surrender to, and wallah, I'm going to destroy your idols. Be truthful. He didn't say that. Anyway. وَتَاللَّهِ لَأَكِيدَنَّ أَصْنَامَكُمْ بَعْدَ أَن تُوَلُّوا مُدْبِرِينَ. He said, by Allah, I'm going to destroy your idols when you're not around. So the people and the tribe of Ibrahim alayhi salam, they used to have this particular day, a day of festivity and celebration, in which they used to go outside the city and celebrate that day as a form of worship of getting closer to the idols. So Ibrahim alayhi salam waited for that day. And the entire city comes out of the city to celebrate that day, which is a form of ritual and worship in getting closer to their lords. And Ibrahim alayhi salam is the only one that stayed behind. So they told him, you know, what are you staying behind for? Why don't you join us? He said, Inni saqim, I'm sick today. I can't join you. He wasn't sick. He chucked a sickie. For a reason. He wasn't sick at all. And that's one of the things that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions. That was one of the lies that Ibrahim alayhi salam had lied for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we explain, obviously there's no lying, white lie, black lie. That's something later on, but I'll mention this. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had mentioned. He lied 3 times for the sake of Allah, and that's one of the reasons that he says that he after had disobeyed Allah a disobedience, that no one had ever disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So during that festival, that day of Eid, that day of celebration, that day of festivity, that day of ritual, that everyone from the tribe and everyone in the city had left the city to go out and celebrate on that day, Ibrahim alayhi salam was the only one that stayed behind. And he said, Inni saqim, I'm tired, I'm sick today, I can't join you. Enjoy your day. But what was his plan? His plan is for him to make a point. He promised that one day I'm going to destroy these idols and let me see what these idols are going to do. So while everyone out there is celebrating their festival and ritual day, celebrating that day for them, thinking they're going to get closer to their lords and getting closer to their idols that they make with their own hands and worship later on, Ibrahim alayhi salam took an axe and started to go around to the main idols in the city. So what they used to have back then, each household had an idol. Every household had 1 idol, 2 idols, 3 idols, maybe even tens of idols. Maybe the entire house is just full of idols. Then they had that general idol. So they'll have idols on the street, and they have idols in the main city center, and they have idols here. And then amongst those idols, there's hierarchy idols. And then they have the head of all idols. You know, just the most stupidest thing that you could ever come across. So they had idols out in the open, on their streets, in the middle of their city, in which these idols are considered to be their protectors. These idols are the ones that they protect them. They're the ones that they protect the city and protect the people of the city. If they need anything, they go to that big idol. If you need something small, if you need a dollar, go to the idol at home. If you need $1 million, go to this big idol. But before you go to this big idol, you need to give it $1 million for it to give you $1 million in return. Very smart, mashallah. So on this day, Ibrahim alayhi salam planned for that day. And he checked the sickie on that day. He didn't attend that celebration. While everyone else is celebrating, he took his own axe and went around to the main idols in the middle of the city. And he looked at him. And he said, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَنْطِقُونَ Speak to me. I am your slave, as you claim. You created me. You made me speak. Why can't you speak yourself? You speak. If you made me speak, what's so hard on you to make yourself speak? If I can move and you made me move, why don't you move? Try and hit me. I'll protect myself. I'll defend myself. If I'm going to hit you, are you going to defend yourself? Ibrahim is just trying to make a point. فَرَغَ إِلَىٰ أَلِيَاتِهِمْ He went to their lords. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَنْتِقُونَ فَرَغَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضَرْبًا بِالْيَمِينَ فَجَعَلَهُمْ جُذَاذًا إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُونَ So what did he do? With his axe, start to crack him down. Break them all down. Made them into small pieces. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentioned جُذَاذ. And Allah Azza wa says, فَرَاغَ عَلَيْهِمْ ضَرْبًا بِالْيَمِينَ He started to strike them and hit them hard. Cracking them into small pieces. إِلَّا كَبِيرًا لَهُمْ Except the biggest idol. The main idol, the Lord of the Lords, the head of the gods. He destroyed them all except the big one. And what did he do with the axe? He put it right in front of him, in front of the idol, right in front of it, if it even applies. He cracked them all the main idols around that big idol, and then he put the axe, he left the main and major idol untouched, and he put the axe right in front of it. And now, the tribe of Ibrahim alayhi salam are returning back. After a beautiful day, after a beautiful ritual celebration day, they're coming back thinking, Alhamdulillah, we got closer to our lords. They come back and find their lords into small pieces. What a shock. My Lord got smashed. My Lord got bashed. Look at my Lord. My Lord is destroyed. They were shocked when they saw that scene. And to them, these people really take these idols as their Lord. Like, you know, imagine if you come to the UMA and you see someone destroyed the UMA. That's going to hit you hard. And this is a mosque. It's just a building. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it's a lot more easy upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a lot more easy upon Allah azza wa jal, if the word applies easier, because you try and translate it from Arabic to English sometimes. But it's a lot more easy upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Kaaba to be destroyed than a blood of a Muslim to be spilled. But at the end of the day, the Kaaba is just a building. And this mosque is just a building. Imagine you come to the mosque one day, you come to the masjid here, you come to the UMA, and you find someone had destroyed the UMA. That's going to shake you. That's going to hit you so hard. Can you imagine if it's your Lord that you believe in? That's the Lord that created me, and that's the Lord that I ask when I need something. You come and you find that this Lord has been destroyed. Someone bashed it. If someone bashes your son, you're going to be angry. If someone bashes your mom and dad, you're going to be a lot more angrier. If someone bashes your Lord that created your mom and your dad and your son and you, I'm sure you're going to be very angry. Of course, according to their perception. So they returned back from their celebration and they saw their lords, all of them, being destroyed into little pieces except their main one, untouched. They were shocked. In extreme shock. They didn't even know what to say. What's going on here? Who did this to our lords? مَنْ فَعَلَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ Who did this to our lords? And the one that did this to our lords is from amongst the oppressors. He's a criminal. Terrorist. Allahu alam. So they said amongst each other, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتَنْ يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ You know what? One of them just said out of nowhere, he said, I remember there was a young man that's always critical of our lords and always criticizing us or criticizing the worship of these lords, and he's promised and threatened that he's going to do something to our lords, and this young man, his name is Ibrahim. قَالُوا فَأْتُوا بِهِ عَلَىٰ أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْهَدُونَ Bring him forward in front of everyone else in the public so people can witness the judgment today. People can witness the verdict today. قَالُوا أَأَنْتَ فَعَلْتَ هَذَا بِآلِهَتِنَا يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ They summoned him, brought him forward. And Ibrahim is ready. Ibrahim alayhi salam is ready. And he's prepared all the answers in the book. They summoned him forward. They brought him forward in front of everyone in the public. Oh, Ibrahim, are you the one that did this to our lords? قَالَ بَلْ فَعَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ هَذَا فَسَلُوا مِنْ كَانُوا يَنْتِقُونَ Where's the axe that break him down? Can't you see the axe in front of the main lord? Go and ask him. He's the one that did it. Simple. Your lords were destroyed by an axe. The axe is with the main lord. Ask the main lord. So they responded back to him. فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَقَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ Like, you know, when someone... Sometimes you need that spark. That spark that wakes you up. That thought that will just change your entire life. Subhanallah. When Ibrahim alayhi salam told them, go and ask the main lord, go and ask their head. Is'alu kabiruhum. Go and ask their main head, their main lord, their big lord. Ask him, he's got the axe, he'll give you answers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in the hearts and the minds of people. So Allah azza wa jalla say, فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ They thought about it, they contemplated and said, you know what? إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ He's making a point. You know, they did accept that point. Allah even makes mention of that in the Quran al-Kareem. It's not like they disagreed with him. But you know what happens here? Arrogance. Who are you? You know when you do something wrong and then someone younger than you or someone who's inferior than you tells you that you did something wrong? You know it's wrong, but you're not going to listen to them. Especially if you're an Arab. Arrogance. Nah. Ya akhi, you know I'm wrong, but because you told me, I'm not going to listen to you. Ha, in kayfik. Out of spitefulness. These people realized the way Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying is right. But they don't want to adhere to it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even confirms that in the Quran al-Kareem, فَرَجَعُوا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَقَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ They thought about it and they said, you know what, he's making a point. We are the oppressors. How do we worship something that we made with our own hands. And how do we worship someone that can't even protect himself? We ask these idols for protection and they can't even protect themselves. We are relying on them and they can't even protect themselves. These are the idols that we are banking on and relying on, that one day if we are invaded or if we are attacked, that will be protecting us, that will be defending us. And look at them now. They can't even protect themselves. فَقَالُوا إِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ ثُمَّ نَكَسُوا عَلَى رُؤُسِهِمْ. After they thought about it, and then they were convinced. At one point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then they flipped around. That's it. Arrogance. No. ثُمَّ نَكَسُوا عَلَى رُؤُسِهِمْ. They turned around after they were convinced at one stage and they thought about it. And then they acknowledged it. Then they turned around and said, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتَ مَا هَؤُلَاءِ يَنْتِقُونَ. Why are you making mockery of us? You know that these idols don't speak. قَالَ أَفَتَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَضُرُّكُمْ. Right now you are acknowledging that these people can't speak. So how do you worship, and what do you even worship? Something that can't even benefit you and can't even harm you. أُفِّن لَكُمْ. أُفِّن لَكُمْ. Allah mentions this in the Quran Kareem. Ibrahim alayhi salam says to them, what on you? Wake up to yourself. Come on. Just go back to your common sense. You just acknowledge right now that these idols that you are worshipping and you are doing everything for them, you want to live for them and die for them, you ask them and you think they're going to protect you and save you and provide to you, you just right now say they can't even do anything. What do you continue worshipping them for? أُفِّن لَكُمْ وَلِمَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Woe unto you. أُفِّ is like, you know, come on, wake up to yourself. You and upon you and those that you worship. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Just think about it. For God's sake, for Allah's sake, just think about it for 1 second and stop and ponder. Why are you so stubborn about this? Subhanallah, it's that defying moment. Subhanallah, it's just that one moment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes your life. It's just a spark that sparks in your mind, and you just wake up to yourself and realize and say, you know what? No more. And that's the spark that Ibrahim alayhi salam is trying to initiate, instigate. Wake up to yourself. قَالُوا ابْنُوا لَهُ بُنْيَانًا فَأَلْقُوهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ. So they became so arrogant. They became so stubborn. They didn't want to listen anymore. They didn't even want to talk anymore. They just wanted to punish Ibrahim alayhi salam. They just wanted to punish Ibrahim alayhi salam for the wrong that they think that he's done towards their lords. They wanted to avenge their lords. They wanted to retaliate for their lords. This man killed our lords. This man destroyed our lords. And right now we need to destroy him. So what did they do in return? They said, "Ubnu lahu bunyana." Today is the day of revenge. This man had committed a crime that no one had ever committed in the past. This man killed our Lord. He didn't go and kill someone. He killed our Rabb, the one that we worship and the one we surrender to. So we have to punish this man a severe punishment that no one had ever been punished like this in the past. So what was that punishment? They said, go and build, not a small fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, bunyana, a structure, a building of fire, and throw him in that fire. And they start to motivate and ignite, entice their people. Today is the day that you take revenge for your Lord. Today is the day that you avenge your Lord. This man destroyed your Lord, so you have to take revenge and you have to retaliate for your Lord. So you need to participate and partake in this fire. So all their men, women, children, young, old, weak, strong, poor, rich, all contributed towards that fire. Everyone carrying timber and bringing that to that place. Until it became a building of timber. A building of wood. If you want to burn someone, all you have to do is just, you know, 1 square meter of wood and that's it. But not. They wanted to retaliate. They wanted to punish him a punishment that no one had ever been punished this punishment before. And that punishment is for them to build a huge building of fire to throw Ibrahim in it. قَالَ ابْنُ لَهُ بُنْيَانًا فَأَلْقُوهُ فِي الْجَحِيمِ, and cast him in that fire. So they did. Everyone. Absolutely everyone contributed towards that fire and lit it up that fire until it became so big. That fire, after it was lit on, it was so big, so humongous, that some narrations say birds could not even fly from above it. That's how big this fire is. Subhanallah. They wanted to retaliate. It's not like retaliating for one of their family members or one of their tribe members. They are retaliating for their Lord, their Rabb. And then they cast Ibrahim alayhi salam in that fire. And the way they cast Ibrahim alayhi salam in that fire, they put him on a catapult. It's like they get a trunk of a tree and they put him on it and they drag it from behind with a rope. And then they cut that rope and then it casts him. It throws him. It's like it shoots him in there because they couldn't go near the fire. It's not like they're going to grab him and throw him. No one can go even near the fire. The fire is so powerful. The fire is so blazing. No one can even go from beside or even above it. So the only option they had is for them to create a catapult to put Ibrahim alayhi salam on that catapult and cast Ibrahim alayhi salam by shooting him into the fire. And that's exactly what they did. They tied him up. They got ropes, shackled him with the ropes, put him on that catapult, pushed it behind, cut it, let Ibrahim alayhi salam fly in that fire. What happened? In between the journey from the catapult in the fire, something took place. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, while Ibrahim alayhi salam is flying in the air, to be cast and thrown in that fire, a fire that never probably ever existed in the past, an engulfed, humongous fire that no one can even get near it, not even a bird can fly from above it. Jibreel alayhi salam comes to Ibrahim. While Ibrahim is in the air, about to land in that fire, and what's going to happen when someone lands in that fire, especially a fire that size, he's going to melt. A few seconds and they'll be gone. Jibreel comes to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Oh Ibrahim, do you need help? And you could imagine, when you are in that position, when you're in that tragedy, when you are put in an event like this event, you can't think right. Anyone that asks you for any help, of course you're going to run, and of course you're going to ask for that help. While Ibrahim alayhi salam is flying in the air, about to land in that fire, Jibreel alayhi salam comes to him, tells him, oh Ibrahim, do you need help? So Ibrahim alayhi salam, and this reflects upon the piety and the reliance of Ibrahim upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim tells Jibreel, while Ibrahim is about to land in the fire, oh Jibreel, if it's from you, I don't want it. But if it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. And then he utters with those words and he says, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that we depend on. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ibrahim alayhi salam said it when he was thrown in the fire. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Jibreel is coming to you. And you know Jibreel can do whatever you ask. If you want Jibreel to protect you, if you want Jibreel to stop you from landing in that fire, if you want Jibreel to carry and fly in the air, Jibreel can do that. And who's the one that sent Jibreel to Ibrahim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Jibreel tells Ibrahim alayhi salam, do you need help? So Ibrahim says, from you, no, but from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes. Absolute reliance on Allah. Dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he lands in the fire. So Allah Azza wa Jal, from above the seventh heaven, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the fire and he says, Kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. O fire, ye become cool and peaceful upon Ibrahim. And obviously the fire obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know the amazing command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to this fire, Allah didn't just say, be cool upon Ibrahim, otherwise Ibrahim will freeze in there. But be cool and peaceful, be moderate, have an average temperature, not under zero. Don't be so freezing cold that Ibrahim will die from the cold. Be cold, be cool and peaceful, be moderate. Subhanallah, amazing is the Quran. How amazing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you telling me Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the one that put these words together? No way. These are the words of Allah, the perfect words. of Allah from the perfect one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Be cool and peaceful upon Ibrahim. Wa aradu bihi kaydan faja'annahumu al-akhsarin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they intended to harm Ibrahim alayhi salam. They had the intent to harm Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they plotted against Ibrahim alayhi salam, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned their plotting against them and made them to be the unsuccessful ones. So the only thing that the fire burnt was the shackles or the ropes around the hands and the feet of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Ibrahim alayhi salam stayed in that fire. Some narrations even say he was there for about 40 days. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustained Ibrahim alayhi salam with fruits. Some narrations even describe the fruits, grapes in that fire. That Ibrahim alayhi salam, after he came out of the fire, he said, I spent the most beautiful spiritual days in my life in that fire. When you know that everyone's against you and you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when you really feel that true connection to Allah azza wa jal. You are really connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right now you are connected to Allah because you know no one is with you. Everyone's against you. So the only one that you've got to resort to is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some narrations say it was only there for moments. Other narrations say up to 40 days it was in that fire. And everyone else's expectation was what? Everyone else's expectation was Ibrahim, that's it. He's gone, dusted, melted, finished. He's gone. Then after a few days, whatever duration it is, Ibrahim alayhi salam comes out of the fire with the same clothes that he had on, untouched, not burnt, with grapes in his hands. When people saw that, what do you think people did? They knew that this is a person that you can't touch. You know the untouchable? That's what you call untouchable. They knew that he is an untouchable person. Ibrahim alayhi salam came out of the fire that these people put together, that these people lit on, that these people threw Ibrahim alayhi salam in, that these people saw with their own eyes Ibrahim landing in the fire. Now Ibrahim, after a duration or after a period of time, he comes out of the fire untouched. Same clothes, not burnt, with food in his hands. So the tribe of Ibrahim knew that this person he can't get near. So what did Ibrahim alayhi salam decide to do? Ibrahim alayhi salam decided to migrate from the city that he was living in to another city with his wife, Sarah alayhi salam, and only one follower, his nephew. One follower followed him. That follower was Lut alayhi salam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem, فَآمَنَ لَهُ Lut. The only person that embraced Islam and the only person that followed him was his nephew, Lut alayhi salam. Sarah alayhi salam, she was the first cousin of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam got married to Sarah or Sarah, and then they moved from Iraq to Bilad al-Sham, Harran. And inshallah, next week I'll tell you more about the story of Harran. Okay? So inshallah, stay tuned for next Thursday. I'll see you next week. Jazakum Allah khairan. Subhanaka Allah bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Some dreams to be up in Jannah. It pies person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah.